Hello and welcome to this new edition of the Fujay podcast. Switzerland is our next stop on the virtual Java User Group World Tour.
Welcome to the Fujay podcast, all your news about OpenJDK.
Once a month in this podcast, we talk about the history of a Java User Group and the people behind it. In this episode, I'm leaving the European Union and stepping over the border of Switzerland, the country where the Red Cross was started and many international institutions have their headquarters. Let's find out if there's also a big Java community.
Hello, I'm Patrick Baumgartner. I'm part of the Java User Group in Switzerland, and I'm currently hosting most of the events in Zurich and in St. Gallen as well. Besides that, I'm a lecturer at the University of Applied Sciences. I teach some spring courses, quite a few of them, talk on conferences, and have many other hobbies, of course.
I'm Simon Martinelli, and I'm active in the Java User Group since 2011, I would say. I started the Java community in Bern as part of Java User Group Switzerland. And I'm a freelance consultant. I'm a lecturer at universities as well. I'm a Java champion. And I'm also doing conference talks and stuff like that.
Thank you. And I'm Frank Laporte, technical writer at Azul and producer of this Fujay podcast. Before we dive into the JUC and Java, what should we know about Switzerland?
Yeah, Switzerland is the central country in Europe, but it's not part of the European Union for some reasons. And speaking from the Java User Group, we have one Java User Group in Switzerland that is for the whole German-speaking part, because we have four languages in Switzerland. And every user group or every city that is part of the Java User Group of the German-speaking part, like Zurich, Bern, Lucerne, St. Gallen, and Basel.
And I even would add, like, besides chocolate, we are famous for actually only the milk chocolate, not like the dark chocolate, you know. We also have like some awesome conferences here as well. And that means like we are running within the Vox Days community around three conferences, like Vox Days Zurich, Vox Days Ticino, and even like Vox Days CERN. So, and we had all three conferences this year already. So we had a good start already into the year.
And we just started with 3 months in the new year. So indeed, so that answers the question, is there a Java community in Switzerland?
Yes, and a big one. There is wonderful Java stuff going on in Switzerland. Maybe you're aware of the GraalVM stuff. So basically, like, Oracle Labs has one of the biggest research centers from Oracle, like, in Europe, is in Switzerland. So the GraalVM team is actually like in Zurich. So that means also like we have some more access to those people. And we recently just, I think it was in November, a talk from Thomas Würtinger, where he explained like how the JIT works in the GraalVM, which was an incredible talk. I loved that a lot. And also on the other side, and that's like towards more your direction, Simon, and also the Quarkus team has quite a lot of people in Neuchâtel, so in Switzerland. You can actually say even like basic infrastructure in the Java ecosystem with frameworks and technology and so on, is done in Switzerland. And even like if you think of the Spring framework as well, like the test context framework and the JUnit 5, there are people in Switzerland actually working on those things. So it's not just like that we are users and community. Here is really like basic infrastructure done for what we are using every day as work.
So speakers looking for a good location where they can interact with a lot of people, of indeed users and developers and the people building all these things, they can really find them in Switzerland.
Yeah, and what I found interesting, and I mean, from a Java user perspective, I heard like last year at JavaLand that like the JUnit team is coming to Switzerland, just having a workshop on their own, right? And I said, I want to do an event with you. It would be great to have a talk and a panel, right? And also similar things actually are happening with the GraalVM team when they have their ecosystem community meetup where all the the framework vendors are getting together where they talk about like what they do need to do, like with the Graal VM. And I'm also in touch with them because they do that yearly. And I also want to hold with them an event. If you think of like, you have Helidon, you have like Micronaut, you have Spring Boot, you have Quarkus, you have the Graal VM team. I mean, they're meeting here like once a year. And if I just get in touch with them or if I hear something, I always want to try to do an event because, I mean, that makes it even also interesting for our community because it's a possibility to meet mm-hmm. those people. And you can meet them. They're just like regular human beings like you and me. And you can talk about all these things and they can even like tell you some very interesting stories, what's happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. What is your background in Java? You both mentioned your... even a teacher. So I think you're pretty experienced with Java, right?
Yes, I started like 24 years ago with Java. Before I was doing COBOL on IBM mainframe computers, and then I was lucky that I could move to the Java space. And I think I'm teaching since 2007. And mainly architecture, Java with Spring Boot, and also persistence with JPA Hibernate.
And for me, it's actually like, I do Java already for also 20 years. And I had the luck actually in 2011 to become one of the official Spring trainers. So that's where I'm running around with Spring trainings on obviously Spring Framework, Spring Boot, Spring Security and stuff like that. And then also like at the university, I do some software engineering courses where I also teach like architecture, where we work on projects with the students, with the same technologies, but also like with front end stuff as well. And obviously also for my clients, I basically do that as well, doing some consulting on the topics. Mm-hmm. But it's even more than just Java in the end, right? Mm-hmm. Java is just a tool.
It's a tool. But I see... there's a big difference between countries about what languages are used in universities. So apparently there's a big focus on Java in Switzerland in universities. Or is it a mix between C-sharp, Java, C languages?
I can only speak for my universities. So I'm in Bern and in Olten. So that's the northwestern part of Switzerland. And there Java is the main language when it comes to regular software development. So... But there are also Python for machine learning, for example. But I don't see a lot of .NET or C-sharp development at universities, at least at the universities I know.
Mm-hmm. So. And I can actually like second that. So for us, it's exactly the same. And also we have some JavaScript courses too, but basically Java is like the first language they learn. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What we as Java lovers, of course, find a very good idea. Now about the JUCs, you mentioned there's a Swiss JUC for the German speaking part. So there are a lot of locations where you organize events, correct?
It's basically like Bern, Zurich, Lucerne, Basel and St. Gallen as well. So that means like five locations. We run also events online. We have a very nice YouTube channel where we have at the moment about 63 videos. We have started with that actually during Corona. And besides that, we have also a Java user group in Lausanne and Geneva and in Ticino as well. But they are at the moment not so that active. Mm-hmm. And we call it the Swiss Java user group. So the five basically German-speaking locations. And we have, because of that, kind of the freedom and having somebody in the back office helping us to organize events quite a lot. And that's actually a huge advantage. And that means also like the whole member administration, the sponsoring stuff and so on. So we can manage that under one umbrella. And the other thing is actually what is also really nice about that is if some speakers come to Switzerland and they want to do like more than one JUC, we can almost organize a Swiss tour. Mm-hmm. And we have done that in the past already, that people really like visited five locations within a week. I'm not saying that happens like all the time, and it depends on the people coming to us, but also like on the people hosting, because like every place is individually organized. So it's not like you're not forced to do it. If you don't find anyone to host an event for a speaker, then it won't happen, mm-hmm. you know? So it's more like if everything matches, that would be like the optimal thing. And then some things like this can work out.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned someone in the back office. So is there a budget? Is someone hired or is this someone working for a company?
No, we have someone as Swiss Java User Group. We have somebody hired someone hired Ursula. She's actually with us already for 20 years. And she works for us and helps us to like organize the locations and the catering and sends out all the emails to the participants and members. Yeah.
I think this is the first jerk I talked to which has someone hired, which is actually organized a bit as a company then, I guess.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, she's the only person paid, right? And that's absolutely okay. And that's actually also great.
Mm-hmm.
And with the amount of events we do, I think we had last year 55 events in our 5 locations. That's quite a bit. And that means also there's quite a lot of effort behind that. And yeah, so mm-hmm. actually like, that's awesome. And we are probably like also like one of the longest running Java user group in the world.
Yeah. And how is she paid? Is that thanks to sponsors?
Yes.
We have many sponsors in Switzerland. And I would say we had sponsors already from the beginning. I don't know exactly when sponsoring started. So the Java User Group started in 1996 already. So 1 year after Java came out, finally. And I would say we had sponsors more or less always. First, the Java User Group, by the way, was only in Zurich. So I think the second location was born in 2011. And then the other locations also came. And we never had issues to pay for the events because we are hosting events on different locations, like at university, for example, or also in a restaurant or an event location where we have to pay rent for the event location.
Mm-hmm.
So, and thanks to our sponsors, we can do that.
Yeah, and also that allows us to be independent. You know, if you host an event at the company, maybe there will be people running around trying to hire the participants. And because of that, we are like in a neutral space. And mm-hmm. that allows us actually also like to get together, seeing the talk, and then also have proper networking afterwards. So we are really privileged that we have that many members, that we have 5 locations and also a lot of sponsors helping us.
And a lot of events. We are recording this session on the 22nd of March. I just checked your Mastodon account. You had 3 events this week alone. Simon, yes. You were speaker at one of them.
Yes, exactly.
Simon, as one of the organizers and one of the speakers, is that an advantage that you get the opportunity to speak a lot?
It was a bit strange. You know, the point is I did this like... It was a brand new talk that I had for the first time, and it was different because I knew a lot of people in the audience. Usually if I speak at the conference, I don't know a lot mm-hmm. of people sitting in the audience, and this makes me a bit extra nervous for the talk, but it was great. And I like to talk at Java User Groups because after the talk, you have a lot of time to talk with the audience, to share some mm-hmm. Thoughts about the talk, for example, or about the topic. And that's something that doesn't happen at conferences usually. So that's very nice to speak there. Yeah. But I don't speak very often at Java User Group. Maybe, I don't know, in the past, maybe 3 or 4 times.
Are these big events? How many people attend a JUC on average?
It depends on the location. So currently, like on Tuesday, it was in Bern, and we had 50 people. So that was quite a good number mm-hmm. because after Corona, we didn't have a lot of people anymore, probably because most of the people didn't go even to the office. So this changed a bit because people need or must go to the mm-hmm. office again. So it's better for us, by the way, for the conferences, for the talks. We have smaller locations like Basel, St. Gallen, or Lucerne. And in Zurich, how many are you currently?
Well, we had before Corona, we had often events like with 100 and 120 participants. That was very common. And now actually, like, when it's a typical number would be like 50 to 70, mm-hmm. somewhere in between. We recently also had like one where we had not enough space in the room because we had like seats for 80 people, I think, and people had to sit like on the side, which is actually like awesome, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, things after Corona has changed. We are getting back, actually, I think. I hope it will take some time.
Yeah.
But yeah, we also try then to run also like on other days, you know. I mean, what it's more like now Tuesdays and Thursdays where people are in the office. Wednesdays, Fridays, Mondays are usually really bad. These are the typical home office days in companies in Switzerland. So we try to do the events there. So when people are anyway in the city, it's easier actually to join for them.
So also on your side, you've seen a big impact on the Corona. On how you organize events and the number of visitors.
Yeah, and it even gets like more unpredictable because of that. Also because of the no-shows. And I mean, we tried during the Corona times, we tried to be there for our members. So that's like why we started our YouTube channel mm-hmm. and started to host also quite a lot of events. And you can imagine how it is. Like, you don't do networking after that if you even run it live. You're sitting like already 8 hours in your chair at home, and then actually you spend there another hour or even more. So even like the interaction with the online events we had, it's not that super great. I mean, it's better than nothing. And what we found out was actually like people watched the talks afterwards on Sunday on YouTube, because we were pushing the recorded talks out mm-hmm. on Sunday. And then at 10 o'clock, actually, when you were subscribed, you got the notification. And I think we have currently like 1,600 subscribers on our YouTube channel. And even without saying, please push on the thumbs up and press the subscription thing, people still subscribe. And that's actually also awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'll add the link to the YouTube channel and also to your website and all the other accounts to the show notes of this podcast, of course. So you mentioned also Voxed already in the beginning. So it's not only JUX, you also do conferences and other events?
Well, actually, that's part of my hobby, I would say. So I'm involved in the Vox Day Zurich organization committee, and I'm the co-organizer of that event. And like my friends in Ticino, in CERN, they're also doing something there. So we have like one Vox family in Switzerland, which belongs then to the bigger DevOps and Vox Days community as well. And we are lucky actually also with the Java user group, they're supporting us also quite a bit. So that means actually like we had 3 weeks back, we had our event. And the awesome thing is actually the Java user group has usually a booth there to get in touch with the members. So that means like Ursula is there, and we have ice cream for the participants. So we have like a stand with ice cream, proper ice cream. And then actually like, yeah, I mean, it's a unique thing. Where mm-hmm. do you get ice cream at the conference in a cinema, right? So people just love it. And we have done that, or the Java user group has done that already for 3 years. And we don't want to miss that again, you know?
Yeah, it's a very good way to get people together. Huh?
Obviously, we want to get in touch with the members there, with the booth from mm-hmm. the Java user group. And it's not 100% just like that we go there for new members, but it's also to stay in touch with the mm-hmm. old ones, you know, mm-hmm. and like also explain to others like what we do as a Verein. Yeah.
You mentioned it's a hobby, but it's a hobby which takes quite some time, organizing all the events, attending events. Why do you do this? What's the benefit for you?
I think, I mean, I always say like, if you run events, you can invite other speakers, which is nice. You find friends, right? And if you're a speaker yourself as well, and that's what I do too, you just can go to other events and meet those people again. So it's a wonderful opportunity to provide your friends the space to join, and then you go to their events. And also you have the time to meet with them and discuss on the topics and things like that. So in the end, it's just like, I would say, a nice way of interaction with people mm-hmm. where you won't meet otherwise. And having conferences would allow to actually meet. And even sometimes in working time, you know, you travel there, you meet them during the the week. Mm-hmm. And it's not like that you would have to meet your friends then on weekends where it gets complicated with families and things like that. So you really can like leverage your network. You can discuss things, you can work on some topics together, whatever. And even like if you do talks and workshops like in pairs, I mean, there is nothing more fun than that, actually, like pairing on all the things.
Mm-hmm. For you, Simon, what's the reason for you to do this?
Yeah, I was asking the people in Zurich back in the days where we only had Zurich as a location, why they don't organize events in Bern, for example. And they said, oh, no problem, we can do that if you will host them. Mm-hmm. And so I started hosting events in Bern, first alone. Now, in the meanwhile, I have Thomas who is helping me, or Thomas is in charge now. I'm mm-hmm. just helping. So we changed.
He's changed roles.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, first of all, about the networking, not only with the speakers, but also with the people that are coming, because we have quite a community in Bern that regularly comes to the talks. So most often, I would say half of the people are always the same. So we meet with friends, let's say. And on the other hand, it was great to meet great speakers from all around the world. And as Patrick said, so in the meanwhile, I'm also a speaker myself. So it's a great opportunity also to go to other locations mm-hmm. for that. Yeah.
Simon, we met already a few times in DevOx in Antwerp, I think also in the Netherlands for JFold, JSpring. You do quite a lot of conferences. You're a consultant. Is this out of personal interest? Because, yeah, you take time to travel, the cost of the travel also. Why do you go to conferences all over the world and talk about all the topics that interest you?
I started to do that because I wanted to show my ideas or my view about certain things that I think are not as they should be, mm-hmm. for example, in projects. And I want to show better or alternative solutions, for example, for that. And I was very surprised a few years ago when I was accepted at the conference for the first time at an international that was Spring I.O. in Barcelona. And from that point, I submit my talks and a lot of them get accepted. So last year was a very busy year. That's also why we met twice. And this year, I hope it will not be that busy because I have to work on a project. So we have deadlines and we will go to production in June. So I'm quite busy at work. Mm. I often try to take my wife with me so we can see the world, or at least Europe. So we go also to Atlanta to the conference in April. And yeah, it's a great opportunity. And if you know the people at the conferences or the other speakers, it's also kind of a reunion at every conference where you can talk with them, and it's very, very interesting for me to share. Yeah, and I'm very lucky that I can do that. So I'm a freelance consultant, and I do that more or less in my spare time. Mm-hmm. But very often I also work. So during traveling, when I go by train, I work in the train.
Do you see the JUC as a starting point? You mentioned you gave a new talk this week. Is the JUC where you try it out and then go to a conference, or is it where you get ideas?
In fact, this time it was the first time that I first gave the talk at the JUC. Usually it's the other way around. I would say for younger developers or other developers that like to have talks, they should come to the Java User Group, because we try to motivate them to come. And we also want to hear like talks from companies that are not DevRels or professional speakers, because we want to know what people are doing. And it's also a chance for them, for example, if they want to hire people, so they can spread the word what they do and show the interesting projects they have. And so we really try to do that, but that's not that easy. Mm-hmm. To get people from the community speaking at such events.
I totally agree with actually Simon. So I think for new joiners, the Java user group is a very nice place to experiment some things, getting familiar, being in a safe environment, because people are also willing to like, see, I sometimes say the dev rels make the life harder for the new joiners because they set the level really high and everyone thinks I have to be the same. But no, you can have shitty slides, I think. You can be a total nerd if you tell about the story. If your story is about like what you love, about your passion. I don't care about how is it presented, you know? And people can ask you afterwards like honest questions and you know your things, you know? And that is authentic. And I think the Java user group has space for this. It doesn't have to be the brightest and shiniest speakers all the time. And I think that makes it really difficult. But I also know that people from companies, they're in projects. They don't have time to additionally like prepare those things. You know, it's quite hard. And for me, it was more like the other way around. Also like for Simon, I started giving talks at conferences before actually like I was also doing some talks at the Java user groups. So yeah, I mean, there is either way. And I think you just need to find your own safe space where you can play around, where you can like get some feedback first before maybe you go to a bigger event.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, the JUG is very safe. If you go to as a speaker to conference, you're in front of a big room, even if there's not a lot of people in there, but it's a big room, a cinema, whatever. So it can be quite impressive, while a JUG is very comfortable. Eh? Everyone is closer around you. You can directly interact with the people. So for me, a JUG is indeed much more friendly as a new speaker.
Yeah, well, in a cinema room, actually, like the lights help a lot because you don't see the audience.
Yeah. So you actually don't know how many people there are in the room.
Yes.
Are there any sessions which were remarkable in a way that they were very exceptionally good or exceptionally bad? Maybe some things that went wrong in the past? You have a long history, so I can imagine that quite a few things happened.
For me, what's always exciting is if some very popular speaker is there, for example, Venkat or Josh, because then there are so many people in Bern. Like, I think, I don't know, I would say it was Venkat. We had once a talk with him quite a while ago, and we had over 100 people in Bern. And that was more like three times that we usually had back in the days. And that was insane. So we met people I've never seen before. And that's a good thing about having popular speakers. But as Patrick said, that's also a bit scary for people in the audience who think, oh no, I don't want to speak mm-hmm. here. So many people that I don't want to do that. Yeah. I think we never had, we had once a very interesting situation. Because in Switzerland, we always start on time. So usually we start at 6 and we start at 6. So that's a German thing or also a Swiss thing that we are very on time. And we once had people from, Bruno was there, Bruno Borges, and he was late.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really late, like 5 minutes late, not like really late, but it was already like, in the crowd, oh, the speaker is not here, what are we gonna do? And then Bruno explained that in Brazil, where he originally is from, it's completely different. So the people are always late. So that's, if you are on time, you are too early. So it's quite a difference to what we do in Switzerland. Yeah. But other than that, I never had like situation that was, did you have anything? Scary or strange?
No, actually scary not, but like once we had an issue with the room, I mean an issue with the room that the room was too small. We had Michael Feders before Corona, and I think we filled the room with 180 people. So, and then still actually people starting still signing up for the event, and that was kind of scary. But on the other hand, when you say like negative things, maybe there are events where nobody wants to join. And we also had like events which we had to cancel just because not enough people would be mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And obviously sometimes then it's our fault because we just like published events like on a short notice. Mm-hmm. So it's almost impossible. And I mean, the other things, not really. I mean, you have the technical issues with the projectors and the blank screens and the infrastructure, but that's something you can somehow handle, right?
That's a constant in these talks that I have with Jux. There are no bad sessions. A demo can go wrong, but even then, you learn something by fixing the demo. So then again, it becomes a group activity to fix the problem. I had the same thing. I was presenting the Jug in the Netherlands, and indeed, we had a problem with the screen. It decided to update. The screen decided to update during the pause, so we had to wait for the screen until it was back. But yeah, that's practical stuff. That's not what makes a Jug bad. So then you decide to work on it together. And that's, again, the strength of a community, I think.
Yeah, and the other perspective you should actually also take is, when I go there as a participant, the topic is just a teaser. And in the end, actually, like the networking, talking to each other is the thing, right? If you have afterwards great discussions, you meet somebody new, and you just like found out that other companies have similar problems like you and so on. That's actually like what is the best part of it. Mm-hmm. And we as a Java user group, I mean, or even for me personally, we want to bring the people together. And the thing is, like, you know that vendors have some blueprints in architecture, but you want to know what's going wrong with that, or like who has the same problem, who can you call afterwards, just like to find out what have they done to actually like solve those problems. Because, well, you cannot always trust the vendor, or maybe you don't want to always trust the vendor. You want to have like a third party view on something. And I think actually like that is the best part of a user group, where people get together, where they exchange, where they can discuss. And there actually, like, I usually see at the upper the magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a structure to do that? So 1 hour for the talk and then a drink, or how do you do this?
Yeah. So we only do like a 1 hour talk, and then afterwards there is apéro time. Yes. So apéro is actually having drinks and food together. And we rarely do two talks in a row, because that would be already too late. So that means like, if you start at 6, you would finish by 8 and people would already go home. Right. So we need the space actually for the networking part.
Do you have future plans? You already have a very tight schedule with a lot of events. Do you plan to add more or more locations or other types of events?
We also do workshops sometimes. Not very often, but we do. I had one with Patrick. Patrick was my host. Like, I was doing a Vadin workshop. No surprise, I would say. And there we had the networking in between. So we did a break or two breaks, and then people can network during the workshop, so they will go home after the workshop directly more, I would say. Other than that, we have a summer party, so without talks, just food and drinks, so to get people together. We are doing that like second time or the third time this year.
Third time, I think. Actually, we started after the 25th anniversary party. We said we are going to continuously doing that, because that party was so awesome. And just because like friends and family, even like people I haven't seen for 10 years or more, they just came as well, because we celebrated that birthday. And then we said we are going to do that every summer from now on. Yeah.
And is that also sponsored, or do the people have to pay to join?
We just use the money from the sponsors and from the membership fees for that. Sure.
Yeah.
In the end, it's not about the money. If you would know like who would show up, even if a small fee, people will still join, I would believe.
Do you have any questions to the listeners of that podcast, or you want to invite them as a speaker or as a guest at your events?
Definitely. I mean, if somebody is interested to join the Swiss Java user group and do a talk, there is a very easy way to actually get in touch with us. We have on the website a speaker section where you can fill out the form. And then actually the back office gets the message, and we'll actually share it with the organizers from all the locations in our Slack channel. And then we are going to discuss like who gets in touch with you, try to find out what are the possibilities, what we can do, and so on. So everyone is invited basically to submit their interesting topics. And then we find out together like what we do. And we often have these actually happening. So it's not always us approaching others. So yeah, that's actually really another nice way. And we also have the chance actually to support you with some limited amount of budget for travel and expenses if you're traveling like from outside Switzerland, or especially like Bern and Zurich is quite expensive with hotel and other things. So we can even support you there.
Simon, something you want to ask to the listeners?
No, absolutely. So come to Travel User Group, even if you're in vacation, for example, in Switzerland, check out our website, and maybe there is a talk during your stay. Maybe your family will not be happy if you go to a Travel User Group talk, but yeah, it's always interesting. And most of our talks are in English. So it depends a bit on the location. Zurich is more or less always in English, I would say. Yesterday we had German talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but usually you see it very easily on the entries of the events on the website. So we have basically the rule, if it's announced in English, then actually the talk will be held in English. And if it's in German, it's clear it will be German. So mm-hmm. we try to like signal in which language there will be, they will be held, right? But English is not a problem in Switzerland, and in Zurich, it's most often in English, yes.
Yeah, but because Zurich has the more international developers. So Bern is more like the capital of Switzerland. So you have to speak German as a developer, usually because you want to talk to the business people. And that's also why we have a lot of German speaking talks maybe, and more English speaking in Zurich.
Mm-hmm. Where can the people find you if they want to follow you? So I found the Mastodon link. I will share that in the show notes. We already mentioned the YouTube channel. There's the website, jack.ch, correct?
Yes.
Are there any more links we should share?
We have Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm. And we also have a community Slack channel. Yeah. But that's also mentioned on the website.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your time. Thank you for joining this recording. And thank you also to the listeners of this episode. Keep an eye on Fujie for future articles about development and everything related to the Java world. Thanks a lot.
Give me a Fu. Give me a J, give me the friends of OpenJDK.